Welcome to the Marcia Miyake Show, where our mission is to share thought-provoking ideas, practical tools, and tangible strategies to uplevel your life, business, and relationships. I'm your host, Marcia Miyake, leadership and emotional intelligence consultant, executive coach, and conscious mama of two. Through solo episodes and interviews with experts in the medical, research, business, and spiritual fields, this show helps you to shift from the illusion that success in one area of your life means failure in another, to the understanding that you truly get to have it all. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of Ask Mars. I love this question. So this question comes from Krista and she asks, I've been pondering this a little while and briefly mentioned on our recent call in the Academy, adding to it here as a twofold question. What is your take on an appropriate age to begin inner child work with children? My kiddos are 4 and 2 and I'm thinking of guiding them once they seem to understand the concept. Also, what's your perspective on merging our inner child children? I've been doing lots of work with multiple younger versions of myself, and I'm feeling called to merge with some of them as it seems fitting. Okay, so such good questions. To answer the question about when is an appropriate age to start doing this work with our kids, I will go back to what the purpose of inner child work is. So let's go back even further to get a foundational what is our inner child. So our inner child is a psychological construct that exists within each adult of different versions of our younger selves. And Krista alluded to this in her question. She said different versions of herself, right? So we have a child at different ages of every age we've ever been. That exists within us. And that inner child holds a lot of joy and excitement and passion, but that inner child also holds a lot of trauma and pain and life experiences that shaped us into the person that we are today. The purpose of doing inner child work is to help bring that inner child along, trying to bring our adult evolved perspective to that little child, to bring a level of wisdom, to make that inner child feel heard, to witness her, to hold her hand, to help her feel safe again, right? So when we talk about trauma, you know, it doesn't need to be this big thing. Trauma can be just change we weren't prepared for, you know, small little pains that stacked into something that we made it mean something in our mind about ourselves, right? So as children, being egocentric and being very moldable, right? We're just able to shape our littles, especially between up to the ages of 7. They're so just easy to mold. They take everything as truth, right? So they're very, it's like they're almost in a hypnotic state up until the age of 7. Right? So if something has happened to them and they couldn't make sense of it, they often, because they're egocentric at that time as well, make it mean something about them. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. Okay. So the purpose of inner child work is to help that child feel worthy again. So then when we talk about doing this work with our children, it's just helping them feel worthy. It's just helping them honor their emotions when they come. It's helping them to feel seen. So obviously it wouldn't be called inner child work. I would call it conscious parenting. I would call it being truly present with your child, right? Because they don't have an inner child. They are the inner child. They are the child. They are the pure, moldable, little being that's in a hypnotic state. So we, as a divine mother, can come in and really help them feel seen and heard. So there's no right age. I think start right away. You know, someone asked me once, when's a good age to start teaching children about emotional intelligence? And I was like, from birth, right away. And same with this. We witness our children. We bring presence to our children. We help them feel heard. We help them make sense of this chaotic world. We help them make sense of the chaotic emotions that happen in their bodies, right? So emotions can be a scary thing for children because they have no control. It is a physiological response. It's primary. It's primitive. They're just going about their lives, and all of a sudden they'll have a surge of emotions. So you as the divine mother can come in, hold their hand, look them in the eye, and help them navigate those big emotions. So that is the essence of inner child work. Inner child work is helping that inner child feel seen, heard, and safe. But I feel called to say that there's another piece to this, right? One of the critiques, I suppose, not that I agree with it at all, I don't. I think if this is a critique of conscious parenting, you probably don't understand conscious parenting. It's almost like we're coddling our children. Like we're like, oh, poor you. Like I'm here for you. And I don't think you can ever see a child too much. I don't think you can ever hold love for a child too much. I think that's impossible. But I think the critique is more about, well, how are you building robust children, right? And so the critique is, and I've heard it said both ways, in that, you know, we need to build strong children to go out in the world. But then some people are like, no, we need to create a safer world for our children. And I agree with both. So we create our strong children by helping them feel safe and seen and heard and loved, but then we also give them the life skills. And I think this is the part that we bring the intellect into it, and we do bring the analytical mind and the conscious mind into it when we start teaching them about emotional intelligence, right? Because inner child work is all about seeing and understanding and empathizing and holding space for, whereas emotional intelligence is now the next step. And Krista, this could be at a later point for your children. I'm already working on this with Aaliyah now. She's 5, where she's allowed to be upset. All emotions are welcome in my home. You can rage, you can do all of the things, but then we can have a talk about it and say, hey, babe, you know, you get to choose how you feel. And like, what does it feel like in your body? How do you want to feel? Do you want to stay angry at this? Is this something you want to stay angry at? And she gets to choose. I don't tell her you shouldn't be angry at that. That's not a big deal. Get over it. None of that, because that's invalidating how she feels. But now I'm holding her hand to guide her to say, oh, that's how you felt. That's how you expressed in that moment. Now we get to choose, right? So whereas the emotion is primary, the feeling is secondary. So the feeling is the result of the conscious interjection. So we bring in the conscious mind, the analytical mind. We can decide, did I want to like hit my brother over that? Yeah, no, that it wasn't. Now on reflection, I get to choose how I feel, and it actually wasn't that big deal. So next time I'm not going to get so angry. That's when we're building their emotional competence, right? So I think, fuck, I love this question so much, because there's the first step is helping them feel seen, safe, heard, and understood, and helping them to manage these big changes in their bodies, because that's what an emotion is, right? It's all of a sudden they have a surge in their body and they're like, what's this, right? And that's always in response to some kind of external force or their perception of an external force, right? So that's primary first. Number one, that's what we do, right? But then when we feel, and that starts at infancy. And then when we think they have the cognitive ability to understand and take on more information, then we can talk them through about choosing their emotions, about consequences of emotions and things like that. Because we do want to build emotionally resilient children. I am not just about nurture and no, there's a nurturing, yes. And then there is a strength building, right? Because, oh my gosh, let me throw this in here, right? There's a lot of really conscious people in this world right now who feel into and understand their emotions and can look at certain things that are happening in the world right now and be like, no, I don't like that. And I don't agree with that. And so they can make decision for themselves. However, what we want to do is build powerful human beings and powerful children who will speak their truth. And because you've already created that foundation of love and safety, they will speak from love. So now it's about giving them the skill set to also speak their truth, to also speak out powerfully against things or in support of things that they believe in. And that comes with a bit of emotional resilience, right? That comes with first emotional intelligence and then emotional resilience, because people aren't going to agree with you. And then what do you do with the not agreeing? That is where we bring in the emotional resilience. Like, oh, it really doesn't matter to me that you don't agree with what I'm saying. I'm still going to speak my truth. I'm still going to speak it from love. And that all stems from how we nurture our children in those foundational years. So thank you so much, Krista, for that question. Now, with the second part of the question, just a reminder, was what's your perspective on merging with our inner child children? I've been doing a lot of this work with multiple versions of myself, and I'm feeling called to merge with some of them as it seems fitting. Okay, so I'm going to interpret the merging as integration, and I'm going to work from that premise just because I don't have clarity around that. So I think my whole perspective on inner child work is to integrate the inner child. So we do integrate with all of the versions of ourselves. And how I look at integration is I call it up-leveling. So we up-level every version of ourselves. So we up-level that 5-year-old, that 7-year-old, that 8-year-old, that 12-year-old, that 15-year-old at when that trauma gets triggered. So if you had a boyfriend that broke up with you when you were 15 and it caused a lot of trauma, and then you feel triggered, now you're 37 and you feel triggered in that same way, well, now it's about up-leveling that 15-year-old girl, integrating her into your new reality of what this actually means. And you bring in that level of wisdom and understanding and you integrate her into the present. So for me, merging, and I don't know if I've understood that correctly, so again, I'm working from this premise, is about integration. And to be a fully embodied and powerful woman, I feel like you need to integrate every aspect of ourselves, including our shadow aspects, right? And for a lot of us, our inner child carries a lot of that shadow aspect. Whatever pain there was, whatever shame was put on us, whatever self-inflicted shame we had becomes a part of our shadow. Well, the way we take that power away is by integrating. And the way we integrate is to bring that inner child along with us and say, like, you are part of this reality now. And that's how I would interpret integration and merging. So I hope that answered your question, my love. If you would like to have your question answered, go check out our Facebook group, Empowering Women for Success, and look out for our post on Wednesdays, What's Up Wednesday, and drop your question below. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today. If you love this episode, please share it with someone. And if you're a longtime listener, it would mean the absolute world to me if you would rate and review this show on iTunes. I love you so much, and I can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. And remember, it's not only possible to have it all, it is your birthright.